Good morning. I made a switch just to let the one who did the bulletin. I made a switch yesterday of just switching my sermons around because I looked at this lesson and the text and figured it's something that we all need to hear. And surprise, surprise, this will be the lesson I speak at a summer series on, so you'll hear it again. The statement, if you love me. If anyone starts a statement off by saying, if you love me, you know they expect you to show it, to prove it to them, whether it's your wife or husband, maybe your boyfriend, girlfriend, whomever. If you love me, you know they are calling you to action. Because imagine if you just told your husband or your wife, I love you every day, but you never showed it. Do they have the right to be mad at you? Absolutely. It's one thing to profess your love for someone. It's another to show it. We have so many people in this world today who profess to love Christ, but they never show it. They say, I love Christ, but then they go watch the R-rated movie. They say, I love Christ, but they're at a ball game on Sunday morning. They say, I love Christ, but they're gambling. They say, I love Christ, but they're drinking. Is that showing your love for Christ? No, it's not. We as Christians need to understand when we profess our love for Christ, we need to show it. We need to prove it by living a life that shows that love. Because the love Christ showed us, he loved us so much, he showed it by going through torture, being humiliated, being mocked, and then nailed to a cross. He showed his love for us. And he calls us to do the same thing. Because when we look at the main text here, in John 14, starting in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's important. Keep my word. What does that mean? We act out our love. We conduct ourselves in such a way that shows our love. We keep his word. These words are not something that we can just simply throw out and say, well, if I want to follow it, I will. If I don't, I don't have to. Which is true. You have a choice. But in order to be a Christian, a true biblical Christian, we must keep his word. That means every word that we see in his word here before us, we are to keep it close to our hearts, to our minds, and then we are to live it. We have so many who profess their love in Christ, but they do not show it. And it's sad. It's a tragedy. Because we have been told in places like Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and also Mark 16, 15 and 16, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is not a question. This is not Christ asking us to do it. This is Christ telling them to do it. If you love me, you will keep my word. If you love me, you'll go and make disciples. You'll go out and you will tell the lost who I am. But not only tell them, but be an example. Watching an interview. He's a famous magician and he has a partner who's a magician, very well known in Vegas and throughout. I've watched a lot of their magic. It's really cool. But he is a well known atheist. And his comment that I heard him make, it really shaked me. It really made me wake up and realize I need to do more. But he said, how much you must really hate someone not to tell them about Christ. That came from an atheist. This man has told people, I respect the Christians who can come to me and defend their faith. He said, I don't like the ones who just tell me to believe just because they believe. I believe in Scripture, I believe in God because I believe. I simply believe. I have faith. That's not really defending Christ. That's not defending Scripture at all. But to hear him say those words really made me wake up and say, do I really love Christ? Do I keep his word? Do I go and tell people about him? Do I take hold of every opportunity to show people why I love my Lord and Savior? Or do I simply show up and just say, I love you, and go on about my day? It's so important that we keep his word, because the results of keeping his word, living faithfully for him and his Father come and make their home within us. They are with us. We have a relationship with them. We are unified with God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They made their home in us. But as soon as we sin, we are separated. And people don't understand that. In other places, like 2 John verse 6, this is love. That we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. What is love? What is true love? That we walk according to God's commandments. That's true love. When you profess your love for your husband and your wife, you show it. Whether it be by doing the dishes, doing laundry, cooking a meal, or going out on cute dates. That's how you show your love to one another. When they walk in the door from work, you give them a hug, you kiss them, you hold them. That's how you show your love, by action. To show our love in Christ, we are to walk in his commandments. We are to live by his word, to keep his word. It's so important that we do so. Once again, Christ showed his love. The apostles showed their love to Christ. The apostles died for the message that they spoke. And these deaths were not merely a heart attack or dying in your sleep. These would have been brutal deaths they would have faced. They showed their love to Christ by preaching, teaching, living, and dying for. I often wonder how many Christians would die for Christ. It's easy to say, yes, I would now, when we are here as the church assembling and worshiping Him. But when we are faced with that situation of life or death, who knows? I pray that one day when I possibly am faced with that, that I pick the right choice, that I make the right choice, that I choose to be faithful to Christ and to love Him and to die for Him. I pray that I am like that, that I make that decision. If you love me, if anyone loves me, they will keep my word. And we see that they have become unified with God, with Christ, and with the Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We just got done with a whole series on newness. The new creation puts off the old self, which was corrupted, which was full of sin, which only sought its own pleasure. And now we have put on Christ. We have professed our love and our faith in Christ. We have accepted His word. We have obeyed His word. And now we are called to remain faithful, to live a faithful life. But many who only profess their love live a totally different life. It's not true love. It's a love from us to God that has conditions. Well, guess what? I'll love you as long as good things happen. I'll love you as long as I get my way. That's what the love they profess. They paint this image of a Christ who fits their own ways. And there are Christians who do the same. Our love has no conditions. We are called to love Christ because He showed us His love by dying for us. He deserves everything for what He has done for us. We don't deserve a thing. But many Christians act like they have that attitude. And it's a sad and terrible attitude to have. We must understand that these are the words of God. There is no room for us to put our own opinion into it. There is no way around Scripture. What God says goes. And if we keep His word, we are faithful to His word, and we will stand firm in the truth. When we look at places, going back to our main text real quick, starting in verse 20, going to verse 24 here. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The words that Christ spoke are His Father's words. Christ sought to fulfill His Father's will while He was on this earth. He did not seek His own. You know, Christ could have made the decision to step off that cross and to say, you're all going to hell. You're not worthy. But he didn't. He accepted his Father's will. He died for all of us. Many people today would not die for one another. Now, a father would die for his children. A father would die, he would die for his wife. He would give his life for his family. Would we give our life for one another? Would we give our life, most importantly, for Christ? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, walking, talking billboards for Christ. And if we are not living the way we should, if we are not living a righteous life, why would the world want to listen to us? If we do not love Christ like we should, we're not going to be obeying his word. We're not going to be keeping his word. We're going to do what we want. But we see what God has done for us through his Son. That should be enough, shouldn't it? That should be something we are willing to be faithful and walk close to him every single day. That's enough for us to want to say, I love you. When your husband or wife sacrifices their own time to do something with you, aren't you grateful? Absolutely you are. When your husband takes the initiative and goes and works and does something you need done, aren't you grateful for what your husband did? Absolutely you are. You love them. They love you because they gave you their time. If you love Christ, you're going to give him everything. You're going to give him your time. You're going to give him your life. It's so important that we understand if you love Christ, you will keep his word. And his Father, he himself, and the Spirit will be one with you. And you will be heirs to heaven. You will inherit all things that have been promised. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 40, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. What's Christ saying here? He's not telling us to hate, to despise our mother and father, our brothers and sisters, but they are not to be your whole life. Christ is. He should be the center of your life. He should be the reason that you wake up and you give him glory, you praise him every day, you live for him every day. He's the one that gives us breath. I remember my mom telling me, I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world, which is true. But my mother did not give me breath. She did not give me life. God did. And then he sent his only son down here to die for us. Christ gave his life for us. Once again, how powerful. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. When we look at Peter, who denied Christ three times, we see a man who was broken, who grieved that he denied his master, his mentor, his friend, his savior. We see a man who deeply was sorry for what he had done. That's how much he loved Christ. But when we look at Judas, who was sorry, and yes, who took the silver back and threw it at the feet of the Pharisees, did he really love Christ? If he did, he would have repented. He would have turned. But instead, we see that he went and took his own life. Two different hearts. One heart was fully all about Christ, and the other heart was torn between Christ and the world. Chose the world. We see so many examples of people who profess their love for Christ. Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah, they looked like they loved Christ. They sold what they had. And apparently gave it all. Well, no, they didn't. They kept some back for themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. But they lied. Is that someone who loved Christ? Who was willing to do everything in their power to live for him? No. They lost their lives that day. We look at some of the people who followed Paul and worked under Paul. They chose to go back into the world. To live for the world. Paul handed them over to Satan. Did they really truly love Christ? No, they chose the world over the truth. We look at the letter of Hebrews, to the Hebrews. Many went back under the old law. Did they truly love and keep his word? No, they didn't. Now, once again, we won't be perfect. We're not perfect. We're not worthy. But because God showed such great mercy, compassion on us, we can make it right again. And we can truly dedicate our lives to Christ. We can truly profess that I love you and I'm going to show it. A new week has begun. And you have the opportunity to renew, to refocus, and shift all your love to Christ and to show it. It's a new year, still the beginning of a new year. That now is the time to show that love. Because those who don't love him, they won't keep his word. And that goes along with worship. And that's what we're starting this evening is the acts of worship. If we don't love him, our minds won't be centered on him during worship. We won't be paying attention during worship. We'll neglect worship. Many do. Many neglect his word. Many neglect everything that he has done for us. That's not true love. We need to wake up and understand true love demands action. I know plenty of brothers and sisters in Christ who strongly show their love for him. And it's by the way they live, and they go out and they teach people. They reach and they take hold of every opportunity. They are part of the family of God whenever the doors are open, not just once a week. They want to see the church grow, and so they will be part of everything the church puts on to reach the lost. They'll be the ones spearheading the project, whatever it may be. Start today by showing your love for Christ. Every opportunity just takes one small step. It's all Christ asks. Take the small step forward and keep making those small steps. Keep moving forward. Christ did it as he was walking to the cross, bearing the cross. After having his flesh ripped open, he carried that cross to where he would die. His followers continued moving forward. They did not allow the world to intimidate them, to scare them from following Christ. No, they were fully committed because they understood what Christ had to offer was far better. And so, starting today, if you love him, show it. For those who are of the world, who are lost, you want to show your love to Christ? Give him your whole life. Make him and put him at the center of your life and show that love by doing. And this is how you do it. These are the first steps you need to take. First, you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe what you have heard, John 3:16 and 17. Then you must repent, change one's mind. You must know that you are in sin and you must repent of those sins. Change. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. Just like Peter made the great confession, we are to confess our faith in Christ. Confess that we know who he is. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. We must be immersed into water, having our sins washed away, letting God work in us. And when we come out of that water, we are a new creation. Our sins have been washed away, been buried, put to death, and we now are walking in newness of life. And then we must remain faithful. Here's the hard part. Every day we wake up, we are to show our love to Christ by being obedient. And to those who are Christians but have sin in their life, understand you have been separated from God. Get rid of that sin. Come forward, repent, and renew your walk. Show that you truly love him and that you are willing to obey and to give everything to him. If you're here this morning and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.